I find that for us moderns, panic-prompted mistakes often have to do with two major issues, romance and finance. Can't you hear the young woman saying, "I've come to that ripe old age of 24 and still haven't found a mate"? I know a number of people who are 34 and would be happy to trade off with her because in panic they raced ahead of God and got themselves a mate. They wish they were back at age 24 now, unscarred and still available. The matter of finances is an equally familiar problem. In panic, we grab the first lifesaver loan we can get a hold of. Before going down for the third time in a sea of debt, we sort of just bubble out, "Where are you, Lord?" If you are on one of those two precipices, sit tight, stand fast. God knows what He is doing. Number two, good-intentioned mistakes. Now, in a sense, all mistakes are like this if they are genuine mistakes. But let's categorize this one by itself, good-intentioned mistakes. This is a mistake that is made ignorantly with an absolutely pure motive. You have good intentions, but you use the wrong planning or the wrong method. Consider Moses in Exodus 2. He's 40 years old. You never get to the place, even in the Bible, where you're too old to make mistakes. Middle-aged Moses realizes he is potentially able to deliver his people from the bondage of Egypt. So he rolls up his sleeves and, preempting Frank Sinatra by some 3,500 years, says, "I'll do it my way." Now, it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. With the right motive, delivering the Hebrews, avenging the oppressed, he killed a man. After all, shouldn't he defend his Hebrew brother? His blood was Hebrew, even though his whole culture was Egyptian. His desire was to defend what was right, but his good intentions led to tragedy, the sin of murder. You know what? He thought everybody would understand. That's another characteristic, by the way, of good-intentioned mistakes. You have the feeling that everybody will understand. But look at Acts chapter 7. It's the same story about Moses, but told 1,500 years later from a different vantage point. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him. But they did not understand. Acts 7, verses 23 through 25. I'm not a prophet, but I've made enough mistakes in my life to be somewhat of an expert on the subject. With good intentions, you can plunge ahead and roll up your sleeves and do things in the flesh, and they will come back to haunt you. It's as if we decide to do God's will our way. Know what? That's not God's will. I remember one time I was leading a Bible study group, somewhat like a seminar. We were sitting in a circle, and I suppose there were 20 people there. A couple of chairs were empty, and a fellow came to the door with a woman who appeared to be 20 years his senior. "You and your mother can sit right here," I said. Wouldn't you know, it was his wife. They left at the first coffee break. Friends and neighbors, I could have cut my tongue out. I had good intentions, but I didn't think. Number three, negligent mistakes. Men, we suffer from this one especially. Passive, negligent mistakes. They occur in Scripture rather often, relating to the home, to the role of a father. Negligent mistakes are a result of laziness or oversight or inconsistency, or just a plain lack of discipline.